Now the word of the Lord from Luke 10:38. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Some of you will remember that I was away from the pulpit a couple of weeks ago, and it was capably and gracefully filled by Dr. Charles Holland, and we're grateful for you and Miss Betty, your many contributions to our worship community. But we had a nice time away. It was a time of family rest and visiting on Kentucky Lake. Time to just get away and sharing family time together, quality time. That's so important in our lives, isn't it? It feeds into us. And as I prepared to leave earlier that week, Dad sent me a text message and asked me to go by and see my cousin-in-law. That's a Mississippi term, a cousin-in-law, right? Go by and see my cousin-in-law, John Estes, and get some vegetables to bring up with me to Paris, Tennessee, so that we could have some good home cooking while we were there. I thought that was a grand idea. John is a gardener extraordinaire. Not only does he know the practical aspect of it, but he understands the science behind it. He has a degree from Mississippi State University in agriculture. He works as a professional tradesman for the United States Department of Agriculture, so he knows the science of growing things. He's so good. Did you know there's such a thing as heatless jalapenos? I'd never heard of such. He gave us some. Tastes just like jalapenos, except they weren't hot. Heatless jalapenos. And he had so many variety of tomatoes, I didn't even know there were so many that he grows there on his little farm there north of Faulkner. I went to pick up those vegetables, and Dad and Mom had said, "Well, get an assortment, just get a lot." He bagged up for me 4 different grocery sacks full of vegetables. Dad said, "Go ahead and pay him, and then when you get up here, I'll reimburse you." And when it came time to settle up, I asked John, I said, "Well, John, what I owe you for all these vegetables?" He got real emotional. His voice got soft and he said, "You know, Miss Sherry and Mr. Gerald," I think he called them Uncle Gerald and Aunt Sherry. That's a Mississippi thing too. You don't have to be blood kin to be uncle and aunt. You can marry into it, right? He said, "They've been by me when I needed somebody to stand by me. When I've been down and out, your mama was there. She's not going to buy these vegetables." He said, "I don't charge people that I love." I let it soak in a minute and I said, "Well, John, that's really nice." I said, "But you know, I was kind of wanting to get a few tomatoes for myself. I want to carry these with me." He said, "Yours will be $2. He still gave me a family discount. But I hadn't earned the love gift that Gerald and Sherry had. Love inspires those types of acts and others, right? We communicate love, as we spoke of beginning in this sermon, with the time and the energy that we pour into those around us. It's one of the greatest gifts We have time. The investment into the lives of those. And last week, as we heard the passage of reading from the Good Samaritan, where the lawyer answered his own question by saying, to live, to truly live in this world, we have to love. We have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And here it seems that just as we follow up that admonition to do something with our love, for our love to be active in the spirit of the Good Samaritan, Jesus says here in the story of Martha and Mary that it's not always about how much we do, but it's with whom we do it. It's the time. It's the investment. It's the unbusyness of life too that communicates love. He shared that Martha was distracted. Distracted by the many things that she had to do. You know, I hear those words of Jesus and I hear the reading in Luke and I think of it being the things that Martha had to do. And so often, I don't know about you all, but I can get wrapped up in my list instead of God's list. It can be what I want to do, what I need to do, instead of what God wants for my life. Here in our text, Jesus says and commends the action of Mary by even in the busyness of life to stop and pause and listen to the Lord. You see, friends, we're called to be people of love, but before we can love, we first have to have been loved. We have to understand. I shared with you about John Estes being an educator of all things agriculture. He studied, he understands the science, and as we grow more intimate with knowing, friends, we grow more intimate in doing. As he grew confidence as a gardener, he was willing to share those produce and those gifts with others around him. He had confidence. He had his knowledge. He applied his knowledge and shared it with those around him. Well, certainly that applies to our life of faith. As we grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus, we are more encouraged and inspired to share that love with the world around us. Mary understood that just as important as doing in the spirit of Martha, we have to make sure what we're doing is bringing glory to God and is pleasing to the one who made us. Martha, where would we be without our Marthas? We need those who do, those who exert for the life of faith, and those who are busy. But it seems that we must read Martha and Mary together, that in our busyness, we don't become so consumed with our list that we forget that most of all, it's God's list. We learn. We listen. We spend time intimately. You see, that's what Mary was doing more than anything else. As a disciple of Jesus, she gathered in that posture of a disciple. She lowered herself at his feet, listening to the teacher so that she could learn from him. And why did she want to learn from him? So that she could act more like him. Share his love the world around her. Those words are especially true during this season of tension and turmoil in our nation and throughout the world, where so much hate exists, so much senseless killing and destruction of life. I visited with a friend recently, an elderly gentleman that's one of the most philanthropic people I've ever met. He said, I had two older gentlemen who were African-American or black recently in my office. I serve on a committee with them. And he said, they came into my office and they said, I want you to know that the problem with this world is not white or black. The problem with this world is that people don't know God. We must love. We must love those who are different. Those who look different and act different and even believe different in the name of the one who first loved us. It begins and ends with love. Surely that's at the essence of what Jesus said as we wrestle with that one thing that he said that Mary had chosen. The one thing that we must do. It doesn't contradict the Good Samaritan story. Surely, if we ask Jesus, what should we do? Should we be like Martha? Should we be like the Good Samaritan and do? Or should we be more like Mary, more worshipful, more centered on you? I think the answer, if we ask Jesus, which should we be, Martha or Mary, the answer would be yes. Be Martha. Yes, be Mary. Yes, be the Good Samaritan. We have to have both. We have to love God in the spirit of Mary. I think that's the essence of the one thing. It begins and ends with the words that those two black gentlemen shared with my friend. It begins first and foremost with knowing God. See, before we can love in the Spirit of God, we have to know God. Haven't you seen young people before and you say to them, boy, you act just like your daddy. And how did that occur? It was a learned behavior. It was by being in the presence of his predecessor. It was by being around him and spending time with him that he drew to act like him. Friends, we must do that as people of faith. If we want to serve this world in love, if we want to love in the spirit of the Samaritan in Martha, then we also have to make time with the one that we most seek to model, Jesus. We're going to talk more about this in the sermon next week. One way that we do spend time intimately with the Lord. But it seems the precursor is this passage of Mary where Jesus says, the most important thing is love. The most important thing is to love your Lord and to model his love with the world around you. To not be so busy that we fail to be Jesus to the world around us. You know, I'm reminded in the words of this sermon of a story I heard, and I've shared it with some of you before in a study session, about a young man, a little boy who's eagerness to spend time with his dad came to a boiling point one evening. The father was quite successful. He worked hard. He worked long hours trying to make more for his family to enjoy life. And one evening the boy came sitting in his father's den as the father arrived home late again, stressed out, overwhelmed with the worries of life. And the son said, Dad, can I ask you for a favor? And the father said, yeah, sure, son. What is it? He said, would you mind telling me how much money you make in an hour? And this infuriated the father. He said, I can't believe you want to know how much money I make in an hour. But if you have to know, it's $20. And the son said, well, Dad, could I borrow $9? This really set the father off. He said, if you just ask me how much I make an hour so you could determine how much to borrow, that's one of the most selfish things I've ever heard, son. If that was your motive, you go to your room right now and you think about what you just asked me. Son dropped his head and went away into his punishment. And after cooling off and unwinding a little more, the father eventually felt a bit remorseful for his harsh tone and went into the son's room and he said, son, I was maybe a little too hard on you earlier. I want to give you that $9 for whatever it is you need. And when he gave the $9 to his son, his eyes burst open large. His son did, and he pulled out from his pillow a wad of bills, and this kind of made the father upset again. He said, he already had money. He's asking me for more. And the son pulled $11 out from under his pillow. And he said, Dad, thank you. With your nine, that makes 20. Can I buy an hour of your time tomorrow? It's the time that sometimes communicates the love more than anything else we can do in our busyness, in the stress of work, in the frustrations of family. May we never forget what we're working for as fathers, as mothers, as children, as church people. May we begin by spending that intimate time with our God so that then we can also spend time with His children, the world around us, so He may be glorified. And the world will indeed come to more fully know the Lord above.